So a quick overview of the presentation. I'm going to give you a basic of what the STAR Community Index is, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about how climate health is being integrated into that system, and then also talk about how local governments are steering the process, and then some of the lessons that we've learned thus far. So what is STAR? STAR is a national framework that is being created by and for local governments, and it encompasses all three pillars of sustainability. So it's looking at the environment, economy, as well as social equity pieces. It's a rating system that's intended to drive continuous progress and improvement in local governments, helping them to achieve health, prosperity, as well as inclusion and equity. It's ultimately going to be an online platform as well as the rating system. What's key to STAR is that there are 10 guiding principles around STAR, and here you see all of these. They're really, every part of STAR is trying to achieve these 10 guiding principles. And I think the really important one here is instilling resiliency, where we're really trying to make sure that the long-term climate change impacts are being integrated into local governments and the way that they are planning and thinking and preparing for the future. What's important, too, is local governments are really in the driver's seat. This is the governance structure of STAR. And what you see here, both the executive committee and the steering committee are local government officials. And then the beta communities are intended users of STAR. So it ranges from Cranberry Township, a smaller community in Pennsylvania, Boulder, Portland, Austin. So we've got quite a collection of local governments who are all intending to use this system. There's over 160 members who are participating in the process of developing STAR. And you can see here, they're all in these different technical advisory groups. So furthermore, though, what is STAR? STAR is intended to be a rating system. There's going to be 9 different goal areas for local governments. You can see them here. We've got affordability and social equity, arts, education, and community, economic prosperity, employment and workforce development, energy and climate, innovation and process. I think this is a really interesting one. This is really a good place where resiliency and long-term climate adaptation can be integrated in. It's really about changing the way local governments operate and the way they function and being more creative. I think the Chicago Climate Action Plan, where it's been using Facebook, getting new techniques for local governments to reach their citizens, to engage engage groups that aren't engaged right now through changing their process and their methodologies. Then health and safety, natural systems, as well as planning and design. From all of these 9 goal areas, there's actually 75 specific targeted objectives that are being developed. And for each one of these objectives, there is then community-level outcomes, as well as local government actions that communities can get points for their achievement on these. And this pillar, the triangle over there, just gives you a little bit more of a sense of what it's all about. So there's the local government operations, and that's where STAR isn't going to get too into, you have to do it exactly this way, trying not to be too prescriptive, and yet suggesting specific actions that communities can use to achieve success. And then ultimately these outcomes, which are far more measurable than the actions themselves. So what I wanted to do, these are the 75 different ones, and you're certainly not intended to read all of them. They're available online for anyone that's interested. But I thought it was interesting to think about some of the ones that had health in them, and specifically ones that we've been targeting for more of a climate health perspective. And it really ranged from each of the different goal areas. So we've got climate adaptation, and I'm going to actually dig in a little bit more specifically into what that one in particular looks like. But then it's also in, I think, biodiversity and invasive species. There's a lot of information about how health impacts are going to change based on species that are changing. I recently saw something about Vancouver Island where a new disease that was not, it's a southern disease, it only happens in tropical areas, and is now occurring in the Seattle and northern Washington area because of temperature changes. And so people are experiencing new diseases. So the biodiversity and invasive species objective and being able to help local governments start to track that information and be more aware and then more change some of their practices based on that knowledge. So another one here, we've got human services. And again, that one's really focused on all the different services that local governments provide that are ranging from water to sort of water resources, sanitation, some of the things that we'll get at the housing, the squalor, areas of that sort as well. So it has health implications as well. Natural and human hazards. This is a really important one, as we saw before, the sea level rise impacts, wildfire impacts, many of these different things have health effects. Within this particular goal, what we really have been stressing is trying to make sure that all hazard mitigation plans and hazard mitigation efforts incorporate future predictions as best as local governments can. Just to highlight one other here, we've got food systems. Food systems really do impact health. We heard about food deserts, food savannas. Again, there's just a tremendous health impact from your food systems and being able to help local governments improve them with more local access to healthy foods is going to be a big piece of what STAR is trying to push and a good way to increase and improve health. So just digging in a little bit here to one of the very specific objectives, we've got climate adaptation. And that one's fitting into the goal area of energy and climate. And within that objective, so far, there are two levels, as I said, of the performance measure. We've got community outcomes and the local government actions. Within community outcomes, we're starting to ask that you show vulnerability reductions in four locally identified areas. And here, those are some examples of potentially identified areas. When they reduce vulnerability, it's based on, as was mentioned before, exposure, sensitivity, and adaptive capacity. So that it's making sure that it's, even though what you're seeing here might not be an equity way of looking at it, the sensitivity piece will bring some of that equity questions out. And then from the local government actions, conducting their assessments, creating a strategy, and then implementing those actions. And I just wanted to highlight, so the vulnerability assessment that's being required has these three components to it, the exposure, the sensitivity, as well as the adaptive capacity pieces. And just to give a quick case study, this particular assessment method has been tried in San Mateo County. And there was a much more qualitative assessment where it was public health officials from the county who went through an exercise where they identified each one of those. And these were the three greatest vulnerabilities that the county officials identified in their process. Again, you see here sort of some of the themes that have already come up, where it's issues of equity as well as exposure. And I think, bringing that full circle and some of the lessons that I think that we've learned so far in this process is that the national scale system can foster competition. One of the things we've seen from the beta communities is that they're already striving to do better than the other, striving to be more sustainable and more of a STAR community. It's a success, and I think that that's something, as we continue to create a rating system, it will continue to drive that competition, but drive improvement. Also that local governments actually want a national scale system. They've been, I would say, hundreds of thousands of hours of local government official time has been put into trying to make this system, showing us that they really do want, they want to do a better job of tracking their metrics, and they want to do a better job of becoming more sustainable. I'd say climate health is just, it's integral to the entire success of the system, and you can see it in all of the different goal areas and in many of the objectives themselves. And I think by integrating health into the STAR system, they can be pushed farther and achieve greater results. I think one thing that hasn't come up, but that the there's a lot of concern about budget cuts and public health not really being necessarily a priority. And I think by integrating public health into some of the things that are already going on, into the ways that local governments are thinking, it may become second nature and not necessarily something that needs, although it needs budget, it might not need as big a budget, it might not need a separate assessment, but it can be part of the comprehensive plan that they're required to do, part of the natural hazards plan that FEMA requires. So I think the integration piece is really important. And with that, I'll encourage everyone to be a STAR community so you can be healthy and safe and livable. probably way under time.